Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor. When we're out in the elements, we're in our element. And outside retail expert Cotswold Outdoor is helping more of us to get out with the right kit. Thanks also to their support, the National Trust is helping walking communities to access the UK's outside spaces. And we're working to fix 15,000 kilometres of paths and trails by 2030 for everyone to enjoy. Find your element with Cotswold Outdoor.
You're walking down the road and suddenly in front of you there's just something's a little bit higher, and you just get your eye in, you just get used to it, and you spot that just down there there's a little frog or a little toad.
Sometimes it's quite difficult to spot the newts because they're so small, and you start almost hallucinating that it's a newt and actually it's a twig, or you think it's a twig and it's actually a newt. And sometimes the frogs or toads will hide under the leaves and they'll just see their head.
Across Britain, toads are on the move, making their way to the ponds where they breed. They're following the same routes they've used for centuries. But today, many of those routes cut across busy roads, and many never make it. In this episode, we join a group of volunteers who are helping to change that. I'm Rosie Holdsworth, and this is Wild Tales, Toad Patrol. It's dusk on Charlcombe Lane in Bath. A narrow road with houses on one side and hedgerows on the other. And tonight, it's unusually quiet. For 6 weeks a year, this road closes to traffic. Not for roadworks. Not for flooding. But for frogs, toads and newts. Every February, amphibians start moving through this valley. They've spent the winter hidden away. Now they're heading back to the ponds where they breed. And to reach them, they must cross this lane. Which is why, at dusk, the first volunteer arrives.
My name's Mike Collins, and I'm one of the volunteers with the Charlcombe Toad Rescue Group. So it's early evening, in beginning of March, and sort of light's starting to fade a little bit. You can hear a green woodpecker yaffling in the background and lots of bird song, so you're starting to get into that time of day when the amphibians start to move.
Mike is one of 60 volunteers who patrol this lane every evening during the migration season.
Wearing a high-vis jacket, I have some special gloves so that we don't get any of the sort of chemicals on our hands from detergents or hand wash onto their skin. We have buckets for the amphibians. And we have high-powered torches as well.
The idea is simple. If they spot an amphibian on the road, they gently pick it up, put it in a bucket, and carry it to a safe drop-off point so it can continue its journey to the pond below.
When you're walking down dusk onwards, you're sort of slowly panning the torch from left to right, and there might be, you know, 20 or 30 frogs and toads and newts on the road that just wouldn't make it if we weren't here helping them.
Also out on the lane tonight is Sheila Gundry from the conservation charity Frog Life. Sheila knows this stretch well and the challenges the amphibians face.
One of the hazards for the amphibians is the cars on the road. But another issue is there's just so many walls. There's so many garden walls and walls around houses. So if the toads, frogs and newts do get across the road, they then can't get any further. There's only a few places they can get through. So sometimes they have actually got across the road, they've made it past the cars, and then they're stuck because there's a wall. And for several hundred metres, there's a wall. So in those cases, we pick them up and we take them to a suitable place. As part of the induction for the volunteers, we show them where the best places are so that the toads and frogs and newts can get down as easily as possible.
Volunteers have been patrolling Charlcombe Lane since the 1990s, but it wasn't until the early 2000s that their efforts began to make a real difference.
So Charlcombe Lane has been closed every year during the migration season since 2003. So the local council closed the road for 6 or 7 weeks every year, which has made a real difference in terms of the casualty rate dropping from about 65% to about 3 to 4%.
All the volunteers carry three small clickers. one for toads, one for frogs, and one for newts. Each animal safely carried across the lane is counted, and the data is sent to FrogLife.
So in 2025, we had 3,995, which is our second best year ever. And this year, we've had some busy nights already, and we had over 800 on one very wet night.
But for the volunteers, it's not all about saving lives.
One of our volunteers described it as amphibian therapy. So, you've had a really bad day at work, you've had too much screen time or too many meetings, or you just want to get out, and coming out here, you can just feel your stress levels going down.
So why are the amphibians here in the first place? Sheila tells us more.
The amphibians, the frogs, toads and newts, they spend all summer out and about foraging, just eating. They're in people's gardens, they're in the woods, they're all over the place. They spread out a long way. And during the winter, amphibians do what's called brumation. They brumate, and that is like a deep sleep. It's not quite as deep a sleep as hibernation. It's more of a lighter sleep.
And whilst they're in their brumation period, they need somewhere safe to shelter.
A really good place is a big stack of logs, or somewhere that's slightly underground, or maybe under your shed or something like that.
And this shelter has a rather unusual name.
They're called hibernacula. One is a hibernaculum. And then in January or February, they're ready to go. So they start quite early in the year. They then head off to their breeding ponds. And they've been doing this for hundreds and thousands of years.
And when they wake from their slumber, things can get a little frantic.
The toads do get very, very enthusiastic. The males get onto the females, and sometimes you get several on top of each other. And then in the pond, sometimes, if there's not enough females, they'll then get in a bit of a ball and land on top of each other, which can be quite hazardous with the females.
It may sound chaotic, but it's all part of a biological urge to breed.
Everyone knows what frog spawn's like and toad spawn. Not everyone's seen toad spawn. It's like a beautiful necklace with pairs of eggs going down. It's lovely. They sort of wind it around some little plants within the water. So it takes a little bit to get your eye in and notice it. But once you do, you can see a lot of it in the pond.
Within weeks, those eggs will hatch into tadpoles. And as they develop into frogs and toads, some will return here to breed, completing the cycle. As the light begins to fade, the worm moon, the last moon of winter, sits high in the sky, reflected in the breeding pond below. And along Charlcombe Lane, more volunteers begin to arrive.
Hiya, hello, hi, how are you? I'm all right, hello.
Hello.
That moon is on the water, can you see, just to go a little bit round?
Oh, that is stunning.
And we've got an owl going. I mean,
that owl's always here.
Lucy, Lance and Angela have just turned up to help patrol.
It's just nice knowing that, every time you come out, if you pick up two or three and you feel they haven't got squash, then that's fine. That's fine for the evening.
It's actually quite rewarding, especially when you're helping out nature. It's probably been here for hundreds of years, long before the cars and this tarmacked lane.
When it's a warm, wet night, it's quite exciting because you're going to get lots of frogs and toads out. So, you don't mind it when it's raining so much, collecting the amphibians.
And just what can the team expect to see tonight?
So at this site, we get palmate newts, common frogs and common toads. And that's the three main ones we get at this site. Frogs tend to be sort of quite upright of quite a long, thin head. So the first thing you notice is the stance, whereas toads are very squat and more flattened to the ground. So that's the first thing I would notice when I'm walking down the road. And then when you get a little bit closer, the frogs have got a very dark patch behind their ears. And that's a really good way of telling that they're frogs and not toads. Especially if you've got just a pond and you only see their head and you can't see anything else, you can see that dark patch behind their eyes. And frogs have generally got longer legs and they're quite stripy legs. And so they tend to do more bouncing. So if you walk towards an amphibian and it's leapt away, chances are it's a frog. If it's still there, it's likely to be a toad because they sort of more likely to sort of waddle along and walk, whereas the frog's more likely to jump out of the way. We always use gloves to pick them up so that we don't damage them. And the little technique that we use is if you put your hand sort of in front of their nose, so that if they leap into your hand rather than off they go, so that they don't leap up and we don't damage them when we're picking them up.
With buckets in hands and torches switched on, the patrol sets off, looking for the slightest of movements.
A lot of the time, when you're looking at the wall, you look at the cracks in the wall. That's where they tend to come out of. You know, it's a perfect hibernation place, isn't it? A stone wall, so it's nice and damp but protected over the winter months.
It's not just the cracks and crevices around the wall the patrol need to check in.
Another hazard for the amphibians is the drains. So the drains are beautifully designed so that all the water heads down into them. But if the water's going fast, it'll take amphibians with them. And there's quite a lot of drains along Chalcombe Lane. So one of the things we do is just to check that the amphibians haven't been washed down into the drains. And then we have special techniques to get them out if they do. But what some patrols do around the country is they have little amphibian ladders. You can get a little ladder so that at the beginning of the season they put the ladders in and then the amphibians can get themselves out of the drain.
The patrol are searching anywhere an amphibian may be hiding, and they're surprisingly well camouflaged, as Lance points out.
We're looking in the leaves, and some of the frogs actually are very camouflaged. They tone in really well with the leaves. So even though you can have the same species, there are lots of shade variants, which is quite interesting. Some are more yellowy-green, and some are slightly reddy-brown.
The patrol have been sweeping their torches up and down Chalcombe Lane for over an hour. So far, they haven't seen a single amphibian. Perhaps they won't see any tonight. And then...
Oh, we found a newt, quick!
Trapped in the drain.
All right, here we go.
On the black pipe there, in between the ridges.
A tiny palmate newt, no more than 5 centimetres long, caught on a piece of piping inside the drain.
Do you want to try and rescue it
with the net?
So we'll help it on its way with a little net. So we're just going to try and put the net right below the newt.
Angela and Lance carefully lower the net down into the drain.
It's wedged itself in between the ridges, so...
He's moving, that's good, right?
And then the newt slips from its perch and falls to the bottom, just out of reach.
I'm all the way down, I don't know if I'm going to get it. This one all the way down.
All right.
This time the team can't rescue the newt, but they'll come back later tonight and try again.
All right. Well, on our way back,
we'll check, yeah.
Hopefully it'll climb back up.
And if it doesn't, it'll come back up and someone else will spot it.
In the end, that tiny newt is the only amphibian the patrol will see tonight. The conditions are just a little too dry and a little too cold. But when the weather is right, this quiet lane can come alive.
So around the country, there's 156,277 toads were saved last year. So I love to think of that figure because it's someone somewhere in the country has seen a toad and thought, I need to do something about this, and has picked them up and taken them across the road and saved their lives. And that's happened 156,277 times last year. So it's incredible. And it's a bit of a hidden phenomenon in that not everyone's heard of this, but nevertheless, 156,277 toads have been saved. So it's just little groups of people not making a big deal about it, but they're going out on wet nights in the winter, walking up and down and saving toads and frogs and newts. So yeah, it's an amazing thing.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wild Tales. If you'd like to help wildlife closer to home, there are a few simple things you can do. Even a tiny wildlife pond in your garden can create a home for frogs, toads and newts. And leaving a pile of logs or stones can give them a safe place to brumate through the winter. If you'd like to join a toad patrol near you, you can find more details on the Frog Life website. I'm Ranger Rosie Holdsworth. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor, your outside retailer and epic guides to adventure. Quick breathers, calming walks, or heart-pounding hikes. We feel better when we get out more. Find quality kit and 50 years of outdoor wisdom. Plus, National Trust supporters get 15% off walking kit in-store and online. Feel in your element, in the elements, at cotswoldoutdoor.com.